open the door. Can you say, open the door? Hey, guess what? God wants into your life. Well, I already invited him in. It was 30 years ago on a stormy day. Life was hard. And I opened the door to my heart and everything's been different. Amen. But what about like this morning? Huh? What about when you woke up? Did you open the door? Or were you all caught up in yourself? Anybody ever find themselves on autopilot? Anybody ever find themselves accidentally closing the door of your heart to God's influence? Okay, there's like 20% of y'all are being honest with me. Anybody? Show of hands? Yeah, man. Me too. And what really all I want to talk about here this morning is I want us to grow in being intentional to let God into every moment, to be teachable. Hello? Y'all say teachable? Teachable? Guess what teachable means? It means admitting that you didn't know something or you were doing something wrong. Yeah. So we're like, teach me, Lord. But then we're like, no, don't tell me what to do. You know what I'm saying? You can't, those things, they don't work together, okay? That's why humility is critical, amen? And so I want us to open the door. God wants in. He wants to actually move. And we cannot live this life as a bunch of stagnant, complacent, motionless people without great expectation of what he's going to do. I was reading in Zephaniah. That's where this whole thing kicked off. And I was like, God, what are you going to have me share? Just a few days ago, Zephaniah 1, verse 12. Through 13. Y'all ready? If you would, read bold parts with me because they're pretty intense. It says this, and it will come about at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the people who are stagnant in spirit, who say in their hearts, the Lord will do no good nor harm. Their wealth will become plunder and their houses desolate. Yes, they will build houses, but not inhabit them, and plant vineyards, but not drink their wine. Now, how many of y'all are grateful for the grace of Jesus? Hello? How many of y'all are grateful that we got invited into life? Hello? How many of y'all are grateful that he is a good God? He is a perfect father. What is it, James? Do not be deceived. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So he is always good, amen? We're kind of seeing through a little bit of an Old Testament lens here, but nonetheless, what this is saying is God doesn't like it when we don't have great expectation of what he's going to do. When we just get vanilla, you know what? I'm not even at vanilla, so long as you're okay with some toppings. You know what I mean? Are you open to getting all mixed up with some other flavors? Are you ready for that injection of caramel? I don't know why I'm talking about ice cream. I've been having ice cream a lot recently, man. For my birthday, we had a Dairy Queen cake. Y'all know about Dairy Queen cakes? Yeah. Woo! I tell you what, man, you just warm those babies up for a little bit. It makes it, you can just like, it's like butter. Caramel, you know? I'm just saying, God doesn't want us to be flavorless. And we find ourselves, and there's so many reasons, and we're going to talk about a few reasons why we find ourselves there. But we're just like, well, whatever. I guess if God wants to do something, you know, praise the Lord, you know. But are we like, do we have confident expectation that he's actually going to do something? I want to shake us out of complacency I want the Lord to shake you out of complacency this morning. I want us to see that we actually have access to an eternal, fresh, bubbling spring within us known as the Holy Spirit of God, who is always with us. So us going, happy cutie pie, or just zombieing our way through life is not his design or intention for you. Hebrews 11:6. Y'all ready to read with me? And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. You see, I think there's a lot of Christians that believe he exists, but don't actually believe he wants to reward them. I think there's a lot of us who are like, yeah, there's probably a God, but you know. No, you can't just believe that he is. That ain't it. He wants relationship with you here and now, actually. Are y'all alive? This is good news, because this means that our lives after we embrace Jesus are actually different. Actually different. Actually full of the life we embraced. Actually fresh. Actually vibrant. Actually saved from the despairs of the earth. God wants to move. He actively desires a rewarding relationship with you. A lot of us are bitter about God not doing what we want him to, but we didn't seek his will in the first place, or we don't seek his will in the process. Well, you know, God didn't show up for me. Did you show up? Real talk. Did you show up? And did you stay there? Are you abiding? Or are we just coming up with our own things? You see, he is the author and the perfecter, but he ain't gonna perfect something you're authoring. He wants to write your story. And don't get me wrong, even if you've written a couple of funky paragraphs, he can still go, watch me. I'm gonna turn this into my long story of redemption and glory, and it's gonna be beautiful. But I'm just saying, man, he actually wants to move. And for that to be a reality, we can't just have some passive relationship with an active God. It goes two ways. It takes two to tango, baby. Like God loves you, his desire is to bless you, but he's a father that you need to let in the room. Open the door. Revelation 3, 15 through 22. Y'all are like, we're going to Revelation this morning? Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. All right. Are you ready? I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Like, yo, Jesus. Whoa, dude. I will vomit you out of my mouth? Well, guess what? Y'all ever leave like pizza out on the counter overnight? I'd encourage you, don't eat that in the morning. No. You think it's good. No. You think it's good, but you put it in your mouth. I'm telling you, I forget how long ago it was, but I watched this ridiculous, I don't know, it was like a documentary about like Domino's or something, you know? And it was just like, day after pizza, the amount of bacteria and nast that just like builds up on that is, it's robust. That's been the word of the morning. Robust has been the word of the worship team this morning, you know? But it's nasty, dude. God wants fresh. God wants active. He doesn't want lukewarm, full of bacteria, nastiness. He doesn't want stagnance. You know still waters? Y'all ever seen a swamp before? It's because there's no input or output. It's just blah. You can't just have the same old, and expect it to be full of life and thriving. I want to encourage you this morning, if you feel like you have a swampy heart or existence, the Holy Spirit wants to do something. He actually wants to bubble out the rivers of living water within us to stir stuff up so that we are a fresh pond, so that we're fresh in this life. Oh, we didn't even finish that. Because you say, I am rich... Oh man, this next part just sounds like America to me. Not being rude, I love America. God bless America, amen? I'm just saying, like, sometimes we get to a certain point where we don't even think we need God anymore. Sometimes I go places where the need is just more material and obvious, and it's amazing to me just to see how much happier people are. It's crazy. You know, we think over here like, yeah, it must be so hard not to have like a roof over your head or to have a dirt floor. But I'm telling you, back to back, you put complacent people next to people who have an eager desire for God to move. And just that eagerness, I'm not even talking about the external material side of it. Just that eagerness, their hearts are lit for the Lord. It's not like, oh, me. Some of us have too much time. Real talk. Some of the places we go in our minds, put your hand to something. Convenience can be a dangerous thing. Let's not abuse the time that we have and just let the enemy run rampant in our minds. Amen? Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have no need of anything, and you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. You know, you can be those things and not know it. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich, in white garments so that you may clothe yourself and the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and eye salve to apply to your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, y'all ready? I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. Can y'all hear that? Yeah? Okay, I'm gonna do it a little bit quieter. Harder to hear it, right? Was it harder to hear the knocking when I was just screaming? Yeah? I'm so sorry, online family. I think I did my best to make that not so loud in your ear. His knocking is regular. He ain't gonna stop knocking. He wants in. He wants you to open the door. He wants you to let him in. But sometimes the noise of this life, of distractions, hello? Can just be so loud that we don't even hear it. Whoever listens and opens, I want to encourage you, in the midst of your meditations, make sure that you're tuning into him. Okay? In the chaos of your mind, if you find yourself like on the edge of a panic attack, freaking out, just recognize, I need to change the station here. I need to get quiet and tune into him. And you might be like, no, I can't. I don't have a decision. Yes, you do. The world's lying to you. Yes, you do. No, I've been told I don't have a decision. I don't care what you've been told. I'm telling you, you have a decision. And God wants to move. And you are not just victim to this world. You have great authority in this life. And I'm telling you this because I love you and I want us to boldly step into that which he has for us instead of just pouting. See what I told you? Kind of a hard word. Right? We can just sit back, just waiting for whatever to happen. Or you can step out as he's calling you to. You can answer the door that he's knocking on and say, hey, come on in. I want to commune with you. Show me who I am. Show me who you are. Show me what you got. Let's go. Pass the bread and the ice cream cake. I so hope there's blizzard cakes in heaven, dude. You know, I feel like there's got to be, you know, it's so good, but it won't be like bad for me. You know what I mean? Maybe it won't be so bad, or maybe I'll just have like great self-control. You know, I won't have to be so concerned about it anyways. The noise of tomorrow's worries will rob you of today's wellness. That's just real talk. You can spend your life worrying, and I have this written down. Dread and worry are the fruit of opening doors to godless rooms. We imagine the future without God's influence in them. hope is born from imaginations of God's influence in the future, right? Fear, worry, anxiety is the exact opposite. So here's the good news. If you're already thinking about your future, just be like, hey, God, come on in. Show me how to think about this stuff. But honestly, usually what the Lord has me do, and it's consistent with what's spoken in Scripture, when he tells us, hey, don't worry about tomorrow. Each day has enough worry of its own. Usually I'm like dreading the future, and he wants to show me something right here and now that I need to grow in. Don't dismiss the incremental growth of God while you wait for some miracle in the future. I believe God does miracles. Hello? God does miracles. But let's not just wait for him to do something when we can day by day open the door and say, Lord, what do you want to do? And how can I be a part? How can I step into that? Amen? Open the door, let him in. Yeah. You know, you can whisk around dead water, and guess what? It's still nasty. You know, movement does not necessarily bring freshness. You can just keep up stirring nasty water. I actually recently had an experience with a fish tank. You know, I'm not a fish guy. I eat fish, but I don't have them as pets. You know, but they're tasty, you know. I wouldn't eat the fish that was in this tank, though. Because he was having a hard time, you know. This tank, this fish tank, I was like fish sitting. Anybody ever fish sat before? No? I wasn't like sitting on the fish. It was in a tank and it came to our house and we were supposed to take care of it, you know. And Kara and I, we don't know what we're doing, you know, but we think it's a fish. You know what I mean? Blub, 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 you know. Drop, 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 give him some food. Everything's going to be fine, right? Well, one day into fish sitting, the water, I don't know what happened, dude. Like still to this day, we don't know what happened. Now, I got toddlers, you know, or I got like a four-year-old, you know, but it was up on the counter, you know. Who knows? Maybe he could have put something in there. Maybe. I'm not blaming my son, but it's a possibility. I could have sneezed in the wrong direction. Ha-choo! And it could have made whatever happen in there. Could have just been scum on the bottom. Who knows? But all I know is we get this tank. It's clean. And a day later, it ain't clean no more. It's so foggy, you can't see the fish, dude. And I'm just like, oh, no. This fish is going to die. I am going to kill this fish. This is not good. And so, you know, we're in conversation with the fish owners, and we're just like, yo, what do you want us to do? Because again, I'm not a fish person. I don't know how to keep this fish alive. And the recommendation was, okay, take some of that old nasty water out and put some new water in there. And so I did that, and it worked for a minute, right? It kind of cleared up. But then the next day, dude, she started to stink. And I was like, and it's in our kitchen, man. You know what I mean? I'm like, this is not good, you know? And so then it's not even just foggy anymore. There's like particles floating around in there. And I'm like, oh no. And I look at the filter thing. Y'all know these like the water circulators? I look at the filter thing and there's some alien creature growing out of it. It's like white, stringy. I don't know how this happened. But it happened. And you know what? Nothing changed. We tried. We moved things. We stirred things and wasn't getting better. Nothing changed until we completely emptied that baby out and put some new water in there. What I'm saying is God wants to completely replace the old water. Okay? He wants to give you new water. He doesn't want mixture. He doesn't want lukewarm. He doesn't want your half clean, half dirty water. Here's the good news. He's the purifier. Amen. And we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. But he's bubbling up fresh water constantly within us. It's called a spring. Let me show you this. John 4, 13 through 14. The fish lived. That's the end of that story. The fish survived. And he was feeling fancy when we gave him that new water too, y'all. You should have seen it. Because we had to like put him in like a little temporary thing, you know, like while we were cleaning out the tank. And we put him in the temporary thing and he just looked so depressed. He's like, this is the worst home I've ever been in. Bring me, what's going on here in the Keller home, man? I hate this vase. I hate that aquarium. I hate this vase. I hate everything, you know? But I tell you what, a little bit of fresh water changed his visage. He was just like, it's a betta fish. So he's just like whipping his tail around. You know what I'm saying? He was feeling good. And I'm just saying, I think some of us might have that betta swag after we let the Holy Spirit work in us and bubble up some fresh water. Amen? Says this, Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. That's all I needed. I just needed a fresh, bubbling spring in the Keller kitchen, you know? But we need that fresh, bubbling spring in our lives as an actual reality. Otherwise, we will grow stagnant, it will get foggy, and we will be a depressed and dying betta fish. Let's not do that. Amen? Let's stay clear. So why don't we open the door to the Lord? Any y'all ever like, any, I'm going to try not to sell anybody out. When I was young, I used to slam doors. Anybody else? Yeah? No? And usually I slam doors when I was mad. Anybody? You get mad? Like, I hate you! Slam the door, you know? I actually, praise the Lord, dude, my fingernail grew back. My brother and I were in like a door slamming contest one time. He was trying to get in, I was trying to keep him out, you know? And my finger went in there, dude, and ha-ka, you know? And it like, it did some choppy chop chop. But dude, my fingernail looks totally normal. I haven't even like fully realized that. Thank you, God, that's cool. But it wasn't normal for a very long time, you know? But I just remember I would slam the door in anger. When we get hurt or we get mad, our tendency is to run away, isolate, and slam the door behind us. Maybe you're not a kid, and maybe this is figurative, but I think there's a tendency. I see the enemy do it all the time, that isolation thing, that stirring on your own thing. But here's what I love. He's just knocking. And I just think, like, I've even had a few of these moments as a father already, you know, where it's been like, and I'm not saying I do everything right. Like, sometimes, yeah, like, I'll be like, yo, maybe I'll say go to your room in a way that, like, isn't glorifying to God, you know? But if I'm in that situation, like, and I want in the room, I want him to be ready for me, you know? I want him to be ready for my presence. And the thing is in a child's mind, you have to think about, do they actually want their parent in there? I'm not talking to the emotions. I'm saying, do they actually want their parent in there? And I think that that has a lot to do with what we believe about that parent. What are they going to do when they get in there? I think a lot of us have really broken ideas about our father where we're afraid to let him in because we don't know what's coming. I'm telling you, you don't have to be afraid to open the door to his knocking. He wants in and he's going to love on you. He's going to correct you. Yes. But we need correction. Like, and that's a sign of his love. But I want to encourage you, whatever fallen, broken version of discipling or discipline we've seen in our life, that's not what he has for you. The way he does it is going to bring life. The way he does it is going to encourage you. And it might be some shaking up. I mean, Jesus shook some things up sometimes. Anybody ever read Brood of Vipers? Anybody? No? I mean, it's there, you know? So I'm not saying sometimes it won't be in intensity, but it is exactly what we need when we need it, and we need to know that. And we need to receive that. And I just want to encourage you, don't yield to bitterness, anger, resentment, and hide out in isolation. And we do this from God, and we do this to God's people. It's just some real talk. I'm not really allowed to do it because it's like I'm here every Sunday. You know what I mean? Not every Sunday, but most Sundays. So I realize that. There's a built-in aspect to my life that does not allow me to isolate. Nonetheless, I still feel the tendency when I'm not in a healthy place. Real talk. I don't wake up when I'm hurting and go, you know what I want? People. It's not what I'm... that's not my default. When I'm hurting, and I'm not saying you need to constantly be surrounded by people. I'm just saying when we're hurt, wounded, angry, we go into a room, hide, close the door, and say, no one's allowed in here, not even our Heavenly Father. Do not do that. He wants in. He wants to help. Don't let your tantrum or even the condemnation you feel about having a tantrum keep you from opening the door. Y'all ever get in the twisted cycle of I didn't do the thing that I wish I did right, and now I'm feeling bad about the way that I didn't do that, and so now you're not even in the room with the door closed because you freaked out about the initial thing. Now you're upset about the way you handled it. That was a lot of words, but I hope you're picking up what I'm putting down. Condemnation is nasty. There is now no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus. Who's in Christ Jesus? Hands? Hello? Okay, there's no condemnation. He is a father, though, and he's going to come. Correction and condemnation are not the same thing. Condemnation is what the enemy does with correction. You can do the best job. I know this from experience. You can do the best job you could possibly do in correction, and the enemy will still slap somebody and think you dagged them 5 times in the heart. And so, listen, again, we don't always do things perfectly. I'm not saying that I'm always perfect in that, but what I am saying is that correction is not inherently bad. Correction from God is good. It's his favor and his love in your life. Many of us have a dead relationship with God because of our pride and our unwillingness to be corrected. He wants to work. He wants to give you some fresh water. He wants to bubble and shake things up. But pride will prevent that. That's why at the beginning of this whole thing, Lord, help us to be humble. We want to be children. We want to receive. Amen. Proverbs 3, 5 through 12. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Pastor Paul read this morning. It was super funny because I opened the email that he sent saying, hey, this is the scripture I want to use for the offering. And I was like, ha, 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 yeah, cool, dude. We're in the same house. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Y'all ready? Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. Who in the house wants healing for your body and strength for your bones? Hello, I became aware of my bones when I turned 30, man. Everything changed. I like knew that I had a bed. I never like realized, yeah, I have a mattress, until I knew that I had a mattress and I needed a different mattress. Something happened, man. I'm not trying to put this on y'all, but like something happens, dude. Young blood, enjoy it, all right? That's why they start selling mattresses that cost like $5,000 or whatever they cost. You know? Lord, help our backs in Jesus' name. But real talk, healing for your body and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. Who wants their vats overflowing? I don't even know what a vat is, but I want it to overflow. Overflow my vat, Lord. My child, don't reject the Lord's discipline and don't be upset when he, whoo, rewind. My child, don't reject the Lord's discipline. And don't be upset when he corrects you. You see, we're cool with saying trust in the Lord with all your heart, but I've heard this last part less frequently than I've heard the first part. My child, don't reject the Lord's discipline. And don't be upset when he corrects you. Y'all ready? For the Lord corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. I think when we're in the posture of being corrected, we think that because God is correcting something, maybe it's something like a specific action or something that would disappoint, you know, something outside of his will for our lives. We go, okay, well, I'm bad, I'm wrong, and he's ashamed of me. He's disappointed in me. Here it says that he's delighted with you and wants to correct you. He's correcting you because he's delighted with you. He loves you. He's not just delighted on the other side of you doing whatever it is that he wants you to do. He's constantly delighted. His posture is a father who loves his child and wants them to grow in him. And it brings him great joy to invite you into that. Father, I need you. Come in. Help me. Show me what I need to see. But we're cool with praying prayers like that until they hit our flesh wrong. Don't be led by your flesh. Be led by the Spirit. Amen? And let's watch him work this stuff out. The encourager, the comforter, the advocate, the standby, the Holy Spirit. God's correction is a part of his favor. He loves us enough to correct us. Listen, here's the alternative. If he didn't correct you, that would show he doesn't care about you. Like, think about that. Sometimes, like, well, you just want me to be wrong and you want to be right. If that's the posture that somebody is correcting you from, that's incorrect. Correction should come from a place of compassion and a heart for people. To see them grow, to see them receive God's best. Amen? And that's always God's posture. When he's correcting you, he's not trying to rub your nose in the accident. He's saying, come on, let's go. I've got more for you. I've got better for you. As a matter of fact, get your nose out of the pee. And let's move forward into fresh life together. Amen? So open the door, even to his correction, which brings transformation in life. What's another reason that we close the door? Weariness. Anybody ever grow weary? Yeah? Galatians 6:9. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. If we do not lose heart. If, that's a contingent word. In due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. If you lose heart, you will not reap the fruit. We have decisions here. I'm not talking about God's grace. His heart is always pouring out blessing. Don't get it twisted. But what I'm saying is even James says, an unstable man can expect to receive nothing from the Lord. Tossed, turned? I don't know the words. But blown around by the breeze and the winds of life. Our posture needs to be steady, abiding in his love, his presence in us, in our home. Let him in, let him lead you. And let him bring life to that which you're doing. I've just seen, you see, weariness can go two ways. Either weariness can like be an opportunity to invite God in, and then you're stepping into perseverance, which builds character, which will be like, whoa, look what God did. Or Weariness can cause you to lose heart. And your heart, when you do that, gets hard. Anybody? Anybody ever had a hard heart before? Yes. You're like, well, God didn't do what I wanted him to. It ain't over. I'm not going to say the world's version till the trumpet blows. I don't know what to replace it with. How about this? It ain't over. It ain't over. You breathing? It ain't over. Oh, but they're gone. Maybe you lost a loved one. And it's like, man, okay, so what? So God, you didn't even provide. Death has lost its sting. They're with the Father in heaven. It ain't over. It's actually like less over there. They're in eternity, man. You know? And I'm not saying that that's not hard. It can be brutal here on this side of things. But don't grow weary and lose heart. You can close the door on God. When you do that and isolate, and the devil works mightily in isolation. It is not good. I promise you that. He wants in. Open the door. Do not lose heart. Another reason why we can close the door, Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8. This is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength, y'all ready? And turn their hearts away from the Lord. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. I don't know what it was this morning. Maybe it was because it was really early, but the word stunted shrubs had me just like, I was laughing so hard. I don't know what it is. I don't want to be a stunted shrub. I almost called the whole message like stunted shrubs, but I wanted it to be like something positive. You know what I mean? You can't just call a message stunted shrubs, you know? We don't want to be stunted shrubs with no hope for the future. They will live in barren wilderness in an uninhabited, salty land. Y'all ready? But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Y'all ready? Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. I like that. It's another good image. Our roots going down deep. And Ephesians talks about us being rooted and grounded in what? In what? In love. And who is love? God is love. Yep. Okay. So roots down in him, nourished by his love, right? We want our roots constantly there. We don't want to be sucking sap from humans. It ain't good. It ain't good. Do not put your trust in people and be disappointed that God, that you're not receiving what you want from him. Did you hear me? This matters. You can't put your trust in people and then get mad at God. Don't work like that. Trust in him. And then this life that we live will be so much less like roller coastery madness. Now, I want us deeply invested in relationships. So don't get me wrong. Good relationships ending hurts. That doesn't make you like some, oh, you know what? I'm hurting, so I'm probably like an insecure human. No, we're supposed to have deep and meaningful relationships. And so when deep and meaningful relationships get broken or twisted or they're hurt, that's normal, okay? But what I'm saying is it should not throw our entire identity off. Who am I now? Well, wait a minute. Who are you now? You're the same person you were if you're rooted and grounded in him and in love. But if you're rooted and grounded in them, then you're right. What's going on with you? You lost your source of nourishment. That's a dangerous place to be, isn't it? So open the door to him. Amen? Let him in. Let him be real to you. Let's not be lukewarm. Let's not be stagnant. Let's let him in to bring freshness. I got this. You can put your trust in people and you'll be salty. I like that it says that. They will live in barren wilderness in an uninhabited, salty land. I think we got some salty Christians. And you can either be like salty or you can be the salt of the earth. Amen? We're supposed to bring flavor, and it ain't the kind that's like, meow. It's life-giving. It's encouraging. Amen? Are y'all alive? Good. Don't be a stunted shrub. If you walk away with anything, hey, don't be a stunted shrub. Straight up, man. All right, this is the last scripture that I got. Romans 5, 1 through 5. This is in the Message translation. I absolutely love this. By entering through faith into what God has always wanted to do for us, set us right with Him, make us fit for Him, we have it all together with God because of our Master Jesus. And that's not all. We throw open our doors to God and discover at the same moment that He has already thrown open His door to us. Again, God is there knocking on your door. I think we think that we're knocking on His. You seek Him, come, but He's there. Okay? Are you hearing me? We're not speaking to some guy on a far-off cloud going, do I want to hear what they have to say? He is interested in you. He loves you. He wants to help you in it all. Let Him open the door. We find ourselves standing where we always hoped we might stand, out in the wide open spaces of God's grace and glory, standing tall and shouting our praise. Isn't that good news? Out in the wide, you see the opposite way? We cower, we go, nah, we cave in on ourselves. When we open the door to Him, man, wide open fields. God can do anything. I wonder what He wants to do. I wonder how He wants to change this situation I'm confronted with. There's hope. There's excitement. It can actually be fun to live a life of faith. I think it's Romans 15. The prayer is that we would have joy and peace in believing. I think that's what it is. Pastor Paul can fact check me. Say heresy if it's not. I don't want to misquote the Bible, though, real talk. You know, I think it's Romans 15. It's joy in something, in believing. Sweet, yeah, joy and peace. Y'all know you can have joy and peace on this journey, okay? It doesn't have to be sour-faced brutality. It doesn't have to be stagnant beta water. You can be flipping your tail around in Jesus' name. Can y'all say amen?
Hey everybody, thank you so much for listening to that message. We hope that it was a blessing to you.
However you tuned in today, why don't you subscribe and maybe share with a friend?
Yeah, and if you're in the area, we would love to have you join us in person Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. right here in Menominee, Wisconsin. Also, we would be honored if you would consider partnering with us financially to help make this all possible. And you can do that at wearelovechurch.com.
These are great days to be alive. Thanks for tuning in today. God bless you. We love you.
See ya.